Send it to live to YouTube. It's the only time I'm ever on YouTube is when I do these meetings.
Good to go.
All right. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's get started. All right. Well, let's call our meeting to order February 2nd, 2020. Are we in 2021? I think we are. Why don't we do a roll call, and I will just read off your name, and please let me know that you're here. Nate Green, yes, I'm here. Ben Kessler?
Here. Yeah.
There you go. Andy Madison?
Here.
Bill Harvey?
Here.
Dave Bolin?
Here.
Jessica Saad?
Here.
Mark Fischel?
Here.
Heidi McCabe?
Here.
Monique Lampke?
Here.
Sarah Gold?
Here.
And Troy Markham?
Here.
All right. Thanks, everybody. I don't think I missed anybody, so I think we're good. Okay. We have the minutes there. I don't know if you've all – we've had the minutes from December 7th and our last meeting on January 1st. Do I have any, Ben, I don't know if you can pull those up, but do I have any additions to those minutes?
They're a bit long to just scroll through quickly, but.
Yeah. Debbie takes some mean minutes, I'll tell you that. All right. Well, if I don't have any additions or deletions, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Bill Harvey, so approved, so moved.
Thank you, Bill. Second?
Second, it's Mark Fischel.
Thanks, Mark. So we have a first for Mr. Harvey, a second from Mr. Fischel. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. All right, great. Okay, well, let's move down to our property updates. We'll start with Bexley Square. There's not any particular updates for Bexley Square right at the moment. You know, we have to, I think we need to figure out what we're going to do with the roof. Ben, have we gotten, I know we talked about the last meeting, potentially getting another a quote on that roof. Have we done that?
Yeah, so we're expecting it back later this week, but Andy Bayshore talked to a couple contractors, and we're, I think at least one of them is quoting, and I know Lydia had some, so we'll have a chance to compare.
Okay, all right, cool. So hopefully we'll be able to get that back at some point here, you know, soon, and be able to figure out what we're going to do. What we're going to be able to do for going forward, as you all know, that's a big expense. I think the original quote from Lydia got was $125,000, so we'll have to kind of figure that out. And what we're gonna do. North Cassidy property update. I don't have any updates on 458 North Cassidy. Heidi, do you have any updates? I mean, I think we're getting rents and everything's okay there, but do you have any updates?
No updates beyond that.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Our next property on here, North Cassidy property, is 420 North Cassidy. This is the property, as we've talked about, and you all know, we are in contract to purchase. A couple different things, just so you all know, is, you know, this is the property that we'd be partnering with the community builders on to potentially build a mixed use multifamily housing project. So a couple things. We, as you all know, we did a environmental study. We did a phase one and phase two environmental study. The phase two indicated that there are some, you know, there's some environmental issues, that there are no tanks in the ground anymore. Those were taken out, but there's potentially, when the tanks came out, there was potentially some petroleum that was spilled. So our environmental consultant thinks we need to at least dig that out to make sure that those contaminants aren't there. He's in the process of finalizing that environmental study. The other thing is, I think you all know this property, we have, because of the partnership with TCB and what they'd like to do, we had to go, you know, we've had to apply to both the Architectural Review Board and the Bexley Zoning and Planning Board. Through BZAP, we are asking for a variance to some parking because there's not enough parking spots. There won't be enough with what we're going to build right on the site for that. So we're asking for a variance. So that we had the ARB meeting 2.5 weeks ago, and then we had the Bexley or the BZAP meeting this past Thursday. I think it was this past Thursday. The board tabled that motion. They wanted to kind of get some get some other thoughts on how we're going to address parking issues there and some other things. So we will bring it back on February 25th. But that's kind of that's my update there. But Ben or Sarah, Sarah's been really engaged. Sarah and I both were involved in the zoning meeting last Thursday. Sarah, is there anything you want to add, or Ben, is there anything you want to add there?
I think you covered it, Nate. I don't have anything else to add.
Great. Ben, you want to add anything?
No, I think you and Sarah covered it. Other than that, I mean, architecturally, it was deferred to BZAP for the variance and then asked to come back to ARB at a future date because architecture is something that I think we've all understood needs a little more honing there. So,
yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that, Ben. So, yeah, it'll go back to ARB after BZAP sees it. So, you know, and as far as the timing goes, that we knew that would be the timing we'd have to go under anyway to if we were going to get zoning approval, we'd know we'd have to go through that. So that's kind of where we are from that. Any questions from the board on that? Cool. All right. The next thing is our Ferndale property update, which we are actually making some progress there on the demolition of the properties. We got a report from the Central Ohio CIC that they are, I believe they think that they'll be able to start demolition of those properties within the next 30 to 45 days, which is great. So they went through, got their approvals or did their asbestos abatement studies. There was a wall in between one of the sites that they had to figure out whether they were going to take out or not. So we kind of got through that hurdle. And they are, I think they bid out the project already, and they're about to, they're going to start demolition down there, as I said, like in the next 30 or 45 days. So that's a good thing, that we're moving forward with. Mr. Harvey, you have a question?
Yeah, Ben, I think I asked you this once before. Are we sure that all the permits that we need from, as a city, we've gotten for that property before they do any demolition?
Yes, we do need to finalize, the building official needs to formally condemn, but other than that, because of it's a condemnation and because it's not single family residential, we're in good shape on the permitting side.
Okay. Did I cover everything? I think we kind of talked through it. I don't know if there's anything I missed you wanted to cover. Okay, cool. Okay. Any other questions about any of the properties? Great. Heidi, did you want to, I didn't send these and I apologize, but Heidi, did you want to get into the finance report and just talk through our account balances and the line of credit?
Sure. I can go through each of the accounts. So I'll take them in order there on item 5 in the agenda. So the CIC general account is at $5,275. The Bexley Square account is at $152,901. Our Cassidy account is at $1,837. and the Ferndale Mayfield account is at $291,322. So just a couple of updates since the last meeting. So property taxes were due, so those have all been paid. So if you're keeping track of the balances going down a little bit, it was to cover all of our property taxes. For the prior line of credit, that's been paid off and released from title. Nate and I signed documents for our new line of credit today. So hopefully we'll be closing here in the next day or two as Ohio State Bank signs and we get everything in line with the title company. And that's just to kind of have it, we won't draw down. It's just to have it lined up for when we need it.
Absolutely.
Any questions or? Okay, that's it for me.
Thanks, Heidi. All right, any old business or new business to come before the board? All right. Well, I see we have a few people in our attendee list. So we, you know, we have a public comment at most of our meetings. We usually don't have anybody that comments, but certainly we are open to public comments. You know, for those of you that want to speak, that's great. We're happy to listen and listen to your thoughts. Listen to your thoughts about, you know, what it is that you want to comment about, whatever business it is that you want to bring before the CIC. You know, just for those of you that are on the call, if you've never attended one of our meetings, we meet on a monthly basis. The CIC is the economic development agent for the city of Bexley. You know, we are charged with development projects throughout the city, things that the city believes are going to enhance the city, enhance the quality of life of the city, enhance the economic, you know, the over economic nature of the city. We are the first project, the first thing that happened for the CIC, or the reason that we were put in place, was really for two different projects. But what is now the Giant Eagle Market District, that was our first project. That was the project that was the reason, one of the reasons the CIC was put in place, and also for the Bexley Square. So we don't own it anymore, but we used to for a time. We own the ground underneath the Bexley Square, or Bexley Market District, and we own the Bexley Square, and we have a leasing property manager company that manages that for us. Ben, I think if anybody wants to talk, do they have to raise their hand?
Yeah, so there's a hand raise feature on the webinar. Should be kind of near the center bottom of the screen for most folks. So they would just raise their hand and we have someone.
Name an address. Name an address.
Given that. Yeah. So just so you all know, a couple things. If you want to talk, again, that's great. We'd like to limit discussions to 3 minutes. But Bill, what was it you just said? There's something you just said.
Name and address.
Oh yeah, name and address. So I think we have somebody that says owner, but if you could give your name and address, that'd be great.
Yeah. Hi, this is Larry Katz and Lori Scoglianco Katz. I appreciate it. I'm trying to figure out where we go to find out the analysis of how these projects are going to help Bexley. It sounds like you've taken on projects that are intended to help the city economically. Has there been anything written that would help us understand this?
Sure. You know, we, and I think Mayor Kessler maybe can speak to this. You know, one of the reasons that we started down this path a couple of years ago with the community builders was a desire by the city to increase mixed income housing in the city. That was part of a strategic plan the city did several years ago. I don't remember the year, but that is one of the guiding documents that helps us, you know, kind of determine how we engage in projects and the things that we do. So we follow that strategic plan. And then the CIC, probably 4 or 5 years ago, we did our own strategic plan as well. But Mayor, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. So in the current adopted strategy for the city of Bexley, identifying opportunities for additional mixed income housing is a strategic priority of the city, and it's one that the CIC has been working on for many years. These specific sites are, as has been talked about, I think in some of the meetings recently, are newer sites, newly available sites. You know, one of the things the CIC and developers who have looked at this have found is that there's obviously a real lack of developable property in Bexley for the most part. That's not a surprise to us. The reason for it is multi-pronged. One of them is, as we know, there are environmental conditions under Ferndale and Mayfield that are going to long-term impact the ability for there to be housing units there. We're cognizant of the responsibility that we have as a city to find and help foster units that can bring a wide spectrum of incomes to the city, not just what is traditionally available elsewhere in Bexley. And so that's an important concept that the CIC has embraced and City Council has very strongly endorsed through the adoption of the strategic plan, as well as multiple other resolutions and ordinances that have passed over the years. So one thing that I think is important to note, and there's been some misconception here, I think you might have heard early in this meeting, we talked about some property the CIC owns at Ferndale that's going to be demolished. The housing that's being proposed elsewhere in Bexley is not necessarily like replacement housing for residents in the area, because it has totally different standards in terms of underwriting and background checks for tenants. And it's not known whether or not that would potentially be replacement housing. But nonetheless, we feel that it's the city's obligation to be able to provide additive units as we are taking units offline that have formerly been providing options to residents who would not otherwise be able to locate in Bexley and raise their kids here.
Great.
Projects now that were tabled, isn't that providing units for additional people to move to Bexley, or is that just a place where the Ferndale and other condemned units can be the feeder? Like, are we taking?
Well, so yeah, no. I mean, truthfully, anybody that qualifies to live in those units and meets the requirements, income and financial requirements, can live in those units, both at Cassidy and the ones at Livingston. They're not replacement for Ferndale Mayfield. Right. If those people would qualify, they could certainly live there. If there's people that live in Bexley today that want to live in these units, they could. If there's people that don't live in Bexley today that want to, they could live in these units. So it's you know, and it's also not, you know, that isn't for the CIC to make that determination. That's
absolutely,
you know, the
right, but the CIC is supposed to be doing things to enhance Bexley economically. Am I correct, or do I have that wrong?
No, that's correct. And you know, as the mayor said, we believe as part of the strategic plan that we're doing that.
Is there some, when I read economically, I think of dollars and cents and some, I can't think of the word offhand, but some sort of projection about how Bexley will come out economically with these plans. And so am I hearing that there isn't really anything put down like that, or is there a document that I can find and understand this better? Because it's not making sense to me.
Yeah, there's you know, not currently one, but there will be one. And I apologize, we're over 3 minutes, so I gotta move on to the next person. So yep, thank you. All right, so Ben, the next person we have is, it says Katie J. Katie, could you give your name and where you live?
Yes, my name is Katie J. and I live at 421 North Cassidy, directly across from the 420 property. I keep hearing, you know, the letter that you guys sent out to us talked about how the architecture of this building is going to fit into its surroundings. There are no three-story buildings within a block. And the facade doesn't look anything like anything in the area. So how does it fit in to its surroundings?
I'm not an architect. I don't know that I can take that question. Is there somebody else that has a good answer to that question?
I would say architecturally, we're still in the design process, and you know, we're going to go back to ARB and review, and we're here to listen about, you know, comments on how to make it absolutely appropriate with the existing conditions and the surrounding neighborhood. You know, the three stories is an as of right zoning for this area. So, you know, per the zoning code and what's already in the city, you know, we believe in that, and think that it'll be a good addition.
And I think we could also add to that by pointing out Cassidy Arms, which is a few properties away from this, is a three-story building. Granted, the first floor is a little bit inset, but the roof is taller, and they're similar heights. So if you want to get a feel for what a three-story building on Cassidy interfaces with, and I know you know this, but Cassidy Arms is an example. And I'm sure at the time it was proposed, neighbors had very similar concerns that it would be out of character with North Cassidy. Whereas, you know, it's provided a very valuable amenity to the city.
But it's not surrounded by houses the same way. The other thing is, and you guys touched on it a little bit with the parking, we are the main corridor for emergency vehicles. With the police office right here, the fire response there, and if you have cars parked on the street, you're going to reduce time. Has any of that been taken into consideration?
So, you know, I think, you know, that obviously that was addressed. As you know, Katie, I think you were at the zoning meeting. That's something that we're working through with the community builders, and hopefully we'll have a good answer for that and how we address that at the next meeting. I don't have a great answer for you right now, Katie, but that's where we are now.
Okay, so and then Katie, my last question.
That's, okay, go ahead.
I have one more. And just doing my research on the community builders, they own several of the buildings that they have purchased. They do not manage them, but as the owner, they are in charge of the management crew, and they have horrible reviews. Horrible. How are you going to keep that from happening in our community?
So, Katie, I can't speak to the community builders. We think they're a great group. We are very happy with what we've learned from them so far. The people that work community builders have been great. You know, we haven't heard those kind of comments. We'll certainly look into those things a little bit more as we get further into that. Thank you, Katie, though. I appreciate your comments and coming tonight to speak to us. Who do we have next, Ben? So Ellen Evans. Ellen, yeah. If you could state your name and where you live.
Ellen Evans, 965 Francis Avenue.
Okay.
I noticed that the CIC has an interest in the Cassidy project, but not in the Livingston project. Is there a reason for that? And backing onto that, does CIC stay involved with the project, or do you have a financial interest in one and not the other?
So on the 420 North Cassidy, we are in the process, as I said, of purchasing that property. So yes, we have a direct financial interest in that, meaning we'll We're going to own the ground that it's going to go on. We don't have a direct financial interest in the Livingston property. The community builders are buying that property on their own and moving forward with that project. To your question about staying involved, the 420 North Cassidy project will have a component of it that is commercial retail. And yes, we will stay involved in that. We're longtime owners. It will look similar. Our involvement will look similar to Bexley Square, where we have been involved for a long time, and we will for a long time. So yes, we'll stay involved in that for a long time.
Does having, how do I say this? Do you think that CIC and indirectly Bexley having a financial interest in the Cassidy project will act as a way to keep the project if the city has no involvement in the Livingston project but they do in the Cassidy project, what interaction is there, if you will, to force the Livingston project to be upkept?
Well, I would say
you have a financial interest in that building and the Cassidy project being, you know, trash picked up and attractive to the surrounding area. What recourse do we have then with the Livingston project if there's no interest by the city?
Well, I would say then the Livingston project, you know, we would have limited involvement in that and recourse. The city, though, does. I mean, the city, like any property owner, would have the ability to, you know, make sure that property maintains maintains that it looks good, that they're picking up trash, that they're doing all those kind of things. That's not, you know, that's a better question for the city officials than me. But that's what I would I put that on the city. The Cassidy project, we will be involved in and maintain that for a long time. So you know, we will maintain an interest and make sure that it stays in great shape for a long time. So thank you, Ellen, for your comments, and thanks for coming to the meeting this evening. All right, Larry Katz. Larry?
Okay. I'm at 299 South Roosevelt, and I've got two questions. One, is there a way of knowing approximately how much low-income housing already exists in Bexley, so we can kind of have an idea of how much we're contributing or not, you know, how necessary it is? And the other part, because I've been in rental property for about 42 years, and I'm sure there is, I'm not saying it can't happen or never has happened, but I've just never seen mixed income buildings or areas where you have people that are making 40 or 50 or 70,000 a year or whatever, living with people that are Section 8 renters. And I'm wondering if that building at Francis and Livingston gets some people there that maybe run out the other people who don't want to live with Section 8 renters, and then the whole building goes Section 8. Is there anything that anybody is going to do to deal with that in any way? Or if the entire building, all of the units go Section 8, then that's what it is. They're all Section 8.
So, and Sarah and Ben, please correct me if I'm wrong, but this isn't Section 8 housing, so that's not a concern here. There's potential for low-income housing tax credits for this project, but they're not Section 8 housing, so that wouldn't be the case. As far as, go ahead.
So So then it's low-income housing is your question. Your question could be low-income.
No, that's good. Yeah. But when you say low-income housing, then what does low-income housing actually mean?
You know, the rents, I think, are, you know, the people that can rent there, they have to fit within certain income parameters set out by the tax credits. I don't know those numbers personally off the top of my head, but
right,
they have to fit within certain limits.
But does that income mean non-subsidized from any agency of any kind, or that's their income from employment?
I believe that's their income from employment. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, but is there a way to confirm that's
sure, employee sure, we can, sure. Yep, we can confirm that, absolutely, Larry. And I appreciate your comments. We're over 3 minutes, so I really appreciate, Larry, you coming and providing comments for us today. AJ Garlapati, did I say
yep.
that right, AJ?
At 981 Francis. Are you guys able to hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you great.
Okay, perfect. So quick comment. I just noticed this. Merrick Kessler, he looks like one of my favorite characters in the TV show Game of Thrones. Davis, I don't know if you guys watch that show, but it's the beard, man. I don't know.
But thanks, AJ.
Look just like him. Yep. So I got a couple of questions. First one's going to start with you said earlier today that you guys renewed a line of credit with the Ohio State Bank.
Correct.
Okay. Now, in renewal of the line of credit, given the fact that you're the CIC, do we have any access to anything like the closing disclosure, what the interest rate is based on, like prime? Is it a variable rate? Is it a fixed rate? The line amount? You know, what qualified you all for the line of credit based on income and so on?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that the line of credit itself is based on our ownership of the Bexley Square.
Mm-hmm.
That provides the security for the line of credit. I think the interest rate that we're getting is somewhere around prime. It might be prime minus 25 basis points or somewhere in that area.
50 basis points. And we did, and we did seek multiple proposals from banks here in Bexley. I think those are part of our, maybe the November meeting or the December meeting, where we're part of the discussion, where you can see the two proposals. I think those were in the public session, if I remember correctly.
They were, Heidi. Yep, they were.
So, and it's a variable rate. It's a revolver with a variable rate.
Yeah, revolving line of credit. So you're talking prime minus a half point is obviously 2.75, which is amazing, because you know a typical 30 year can be about 2.75, maybe, but lower. You don't really often see a business get a line of credit at an interest rate that low. Obviously, the rate will be higher because there's more risk involved because it's an LLC or nonprofit and so on. Also, want to know what the line amount is, and then basically you said you get the line based on the Bexley Square. Is that based on like sales, revenue? What is that like? How do they qualify you for that?
So it's based on it's based on the value of the property.
Mm-hmm.
The appraisal. There's an appraisal that was done on the property, so it's based on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also based on the leases on that property. So we have seven tenants, and so it's based on those leases. And most of those are 5 year or 7 year leases. So it's based on those things as well. I think you asked one other thing too. But
yeah, how much you guys have available on that line?
Heidi, I don't remember. Do you remember what it is?
It's up to $1 million.
Up to $1 million. Okay. So not huge, but reasonable.
And I will tell you, AJ, and we're right at 3 minutes, but we had a line of credit previously. And so this was a renewal, and we went out and searched, as Heidi said, we went out and sought different proposals for this line. So
okay. And one last question. Right. Thanks for your time.
Sure.
So with the CIC, basically, obviously you guys have a bank account. Let's assume it's with Ohio State Bank, whoever it might be. With the CIC, given the fact that it's for the development of Bexley, for the, make Bexley a better place, do we get to know who is on the bank account or see any kind of bank account statement? the ownership of the account?
Sure. I mean, it's the officers, financial AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm sorry, go ahead. Heidi McCabe, who is our treasurer, she gave them earlier.
Mm-hmm. You're that, looking at
she
her.
Gave earlier. Yeah, but she, you know, Heidi and I are on the account because I'm the chair and mm-hmm. Heidi's the treasurer, and that's the way our bylaws are written.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, we're a nonprofit, so there mm-hmm. is no ownership interest in the account other than, our serving as officers. So, it from the ownership perspective. To be honest, I don't know off the top of my head about the sharing of our financials. Mm-hmm. So we can look into that.
I will tell you if you want to look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're totally public, and we also are audited by the state every 2 years. You can look those up, or we can send mm-hmm. them to you. So AJ, I appreciate your time, your questions, and joining us. We're over the 3 minutes, but thanks mm-hmm. a lot for joining
us guys.
Today. All right. Ben, do we have anybody else?
Not that I see.
Is there anybody else that's in the attendee list that would like to make any comments or ask any questions? Okay. Well, for the board members, we need to move into executive session. And we need to move into executive session. I would, and I don't know, Ben, if we have, oh, we don't have it on there.
Hold on, I can share that.
Okay.
And I also sent out an executive session link.
Oh, you did?
That helps. And I think you're looking for
the first one, right?
Oh, yeah, 121.22G2.
Yeah. So I'd like to make a motion to move into executive session per Ohio Revised Code section 121.22G2 to consider the purchase of property for public purposes, the sale of property at competitive bidding, or the sale or other disposition of unneeded, obsolete, or unfit for use property in accordance with section 505.10 of the revised code. So with that, I'd like to make that motion. Do I have a second for that motion?
Bill Harvey, I second.
Thank you, Bill. And then we'll do a roll call for that. Ben Kessler?
Yes.
Andrew Madison?
Yes.
Bill Harvey?
Yes.
Zahi Ben-David?
Yes.
Jeff Walker?
Yes.
Jessica Saad?
Yes.
Mark Fischel?
Yes.
Tom Brigden?
Yes.
Heidi McCabe?
Yes.
Monique Lamke?
Yes.
Sarah Gold?
Yes.
And Troy Markham. I think I got everybody.
Yes.
All right, thank you. So we will move over into the executive session. Ben sent it out as a link in this chat if you all want to see it there, or he also sent it as an email. So either way, follow that and we'll see you over there.
And then Nate, you want to just clarify for those still here, we're going to come back to adjourn, but there should be no other CIC business after executive session.
Correct. I'm sorry. We should have said that. Yep. Thanks, Ben.
Man, some of you are quick.
Right on it. I think the only person we're missing is Dave Bolin, maybe? Is that right?
No, we had 14 before and we lost Tom, so.
Andy?
Madison? Yeah.
No, Andy's there.
I'm here.
Oh, Jeff Walker. Jeff and Dave. That would make that'd make 13, wouldn't it?
Right, yeah.
Well, we'll see if they jump back on. But could I get a motion to move out of executive session?
So moved. So moved, Bill Harvey.
Bill Harvey, second. Mark, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
Good job, Nate.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. Thanks, Nate.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. Motion to adjourn?
So moved. Kessler.
Kessler.
I'll second.
Jeff Walker, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Awesome. See y'all in a month. Aye. I'll see y'all before that, but see y'all in a month. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good night.